the things that when I first got interested in making money as a skill, as opposed to something that I had to do or needed to do or wouldn't be okay without, was I had a difficult relationship with the whole notion of sales. I found it pretty horrific. Like, in my mind, selling was manipulation. Selling was tricking people into buying what I had and giving me their money. Selling was, as Steve talks about, selling was about taking and very little to do with giving. How little do I have to give to be able to take what I want? Without knowing that was underneath all my thinking about sales, that was what I thought sales was. But because I didn't know I was making that up, I didn't know that anything that we think about anything is make-believe, because thought is what makes beliefs. Thought is what makes us believe anything we think is really the way that it is. I thought I had to learn to make sales less distasteful, learn how to get through the selling process, kind of find a way to manage the necessary evil of sales and making money. Consequently, I didn't really get that good at it, because it really wasn't something I wanted to get good at. Because in my mind, if I got good at it, that meant I was manipulative. That meant I was kind of creepy. That meant I was a taker, not a giver. And it was when I first worked with Steve that I began to see something that I had genuinely never considered before. And it was that sales could be fun. That actually being with people, getting to know people, finding ways to contribute to them, finding ways to serve them, finding ways to make a difference in their lives, was what I do anyways when I'm not thinking about money. But somehow when money was involved, all of that went out the window and I had to sell them. And I started to get better at it, as you do get better at most things that you apply yourself to, with, you know, that you give time to, that you give attention to. And I started to even enjoy it. I remember driving down the street one day and at a stoplight thinking, I love selling. But what I realized was, it wasn't so much that I loved selling. I kind of loved winning. I kind of liked that now that I was getting good at it, more people bought. But there was still something fundamentally off in the way that I thought about selling. I thought I'd learned how to make the best of a bad situation. Because selling is inherently a little bit creepy and a little bit, but, you know, I did it pretty well. And I did it with a minimum of creepiness. Well, one day I was talking to Steve about it. And he said something that literally changed the way I sell to this day. And he said, well, would you do that if you were selling to Oliver? Now, Oliver's my son. And I love him. I love all my kids equally. But I love Oliver. And as soon as Steve said that, It blew all my old thinking out of the water about sales. It emptied my head. And I got to take a fresh look. I got to see, oh, I've been making up all these things that I thought were characteristic of sales based on a really limited sample size, mostly, to be honest, of what I'd seen on TV and experienced buying a used car as a teenager. And I had a chance to look at it fresh and go, well, what if I was selling to Oliver? What if I was selling to somebody that I loved unconditionally, that I absolutely wanted the best for, and that I would do anything to prevent them from doing something that wasn't good for them? And it affected every element of the sales process. First off, I stopped being in a rush. I stopped thinking, okay, I got one chance at this. Right? I gotta make the sale. It's like, it's Oliver. I wanna take as long as we got. How long do you have? Let's explore. Let's talk about other stuff. Let's hang out. And yeah, we'll talk about difference making and products and all that when it's relevant. But otherwise, I just wanna hang. I just want to enjoy your company. Right? It changed what used to be eliciting needs and trying to find the problem and the insecurity that I could exploit to make the sale, and just started to be about, oh, wow, he'd do a lot better if he had this, or it might be really fun for him to have this. It might make his life more enjoyable if he was able to have this thing that I know is on offer. It changed the way that I thought about closing, right? Because if you've ever done any reading about or sales training, closing is the big thing. How do you close the deal? And there's all these strategies to close the deal, and you got to close the deal now, and you got to lock them in, and you got to prevent buyer's remorse and all of this stuff. And it just became a conversation between two friends about what might be helpful, and then making an offer. If there was an offer to be made, if I had something that I thought would help Oliver, I would offer it to him. And if he didn't want it, I would probably go, well, okay, but I wouldn't leave it there. I would go back and go, well, why not? Because I could see this would really help him. And so I'd be genuinely curious about, well, what is it that I'm seeing that he's not seeing that makes him not jump at this? And then if ultimately he really didn't see it, I wouldn't push it on him. I wouldn't try to trick him into getting it for his own good, or more likely for my own good. I'd be happy for him to walk away knowing that if I'm right, and if it's something that really would make a difference for him, he'll come back. And if I'm wrong, then thank goodness that I didn't push it on him. Thank goodness that I didn't try to make him buy what I was selling. It affected the way that, it's funny, I mentioned buyer's remorse. I had a sales trainer come to me and say that he wanted to work with me, and that he had a formula that was guaranteed to eliminate 90% of buyer's remorse, 90% of refunds. And he made a very compelling case. Like, he gave me all the reasons, and he got me a little insecure about, yeah, what if a client did this, and what if you thought you had a client and they walked away? And I thought, I've had clients who walked away. Oh my gosh. And I could feel the insecurity getting revved up in my head and revving up in my body. But fortunately, I know what insecurity is. I know it's made of thought. I know it's not real. I know it's not something to be taken seriously. I know it's something that may come with me in the car, but I don't want to let it drive. And so I didn't buy to put an end to my insecurity. I just noted the insecurity. And what I realized, kind of to my delight and the salesperson's dismay, is the reason I wasn't interested is because my buyers didn't experience remorse. Because I had learned to sell to Oliver. I'd learned to only sell to people that I cared about, that I wanted the best for, whether I knew them before we started talking or not. By the time we got around to buying, even if it happened quite quickly, because it can still happen quickly, there was no buyer's remorse because there had been no manipulation. There had been no trickery. It was just a conversation between two friends about what might make their lives a little bit better, a little bit easier, a little bit more fun.